From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Across Illinois, you can find thousands of underground storage tanks. Typically, they're part of the infrastructure of places like gas stations or industrial parks. Occasionally, these tanks develop leaks, and gas or oil can seep into the ground. Illinois law requires property owners to report, remove, and clean up any such leaks, as not doing so could contaminate the surrounding soil. The Illinois Environmental Protection Agency has a program in place that then reimburses property owners, or the cleaners, depending on how it's structured, for their work. In the past, however, this program has led to some fraud. Recently, the Illinois Times newspaper out of Springfield told the story of a man who was convicted of defrauding the Illinois EPA out of millions of dollars. He was sentenced to 5 years in federal prison, but now he's back in business and has collected more than $1.5 million from the same state agency he defrauded. Joining us now to talk through his reporting on this is Dilpreet Raju, who is a staff writer at the Illinois Times and a Report for America Corps member. Dilpreet, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, we're going to be talking about this for just the first segment today. So if you have a question or comment, you can call us at 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. All right. Let's begin with a basic question in your story. Who is Michael Keebler?
Yeah, so Michael Keebler is an environmental engineer who, ran into some trouble with the law about a little over a decade ago, where he was caught defrauding that state fund you had mentioned. And as a result of that investigation that was led by federal attorneys and prosecutors, he was sentenced to 5 years in prison and restitution of north of $13 million. But in that time since, when he entered prison, he was able to, through his lawyers, appeal that number of $13 million and basically claim that some sites were actually cleaned up correctly and weren't done fraudulently. And as a result of those claims, they were able to get that number down to below 8 million, I believe. So it's an interesting sort of scenario where he was able to get out of prison and then return to that same line of work.
Were the things that he was convicted of?
He pled guilty to defrauding the state and basically filing fraudulent or, in some cases, marked up subcontractor invoices. And then as a result of that, getting those back payments from the reimbursement in the long run. So that was going on for a long time. Attorneys found out last when they were prosecuting him, but they said that had gone on for at least a decade, and it involved multiple companies. He had two brothers who were involved, and they had some shell companies and whatnot. But it's transpired to now where he has only a few companies, but they're still engaging with the Underground Storage Tank Fund.
Let's talk a little bit more about how this is supposed to work. And again, we're talking about the Leaky Underground Storage Tank Fund, or the LUST Fund, as some people call it, for the acronym there. So what happens? Let's say you own a gas station. It goes out of business. It's not profitable for you. You shut it down. The tanks are sitting there rusting. Like, what is the best case scenario? What is supposed to happen in those circumstances?
Yeah, so in those circumstances, you essentially have to contact one. There's dozens of licensed businesses that can do those sorts of removals and an analysis of the dirt around the site that's in question. But essentially the EPA cannot do that work for you. They don't have the means or the manpower. And they can kind of provide you the list, but they advise basically to be a good customer and kind of, you know, make sure you're asking the right questions and whatnot and getting answers on why things cost what they cost and whatnot. So it's really a problem for the property owners to figure out on their own.
And sometimes the property owners can, I guess, pay the company to do the work and get reimbursed, or just kind of sign over the payment rights to the company, like on spec almost?
Correct. Yeah. Those are options also. And oftentimes they will have to, get these spots cleaned up, and that can cost, it's a wide range. It can cost a few thousand. I've seen some payments that are in the hundreds, but some have gone to, hundreds of thousands. So some are truly not affordable for some people. And on top of that, there is, in order to get that reimbursement, you do have to pay deductibles into the program. And those can be, I think those are $5,000 and $10,000 respectively. So that alone can kind of be a big barrier for some property owners to say, well, I don't want to have to go through this whole thing and pay into this in order to get my money back eventually.
Yeah, and maybe we should say here that the leaky underground storage tank fund gets its money from all of us when we purchase gasoline, right? A share of the state's gas tax goes to this.
Correct. Yeah, it's actually the smallest tax on gas, but it is a tax on every motor fuel purchase. So yes, it's like 0.003 cents per gallon. But yeah, it adds up, obviously.
Yeah, well, and Illinois, of course, has many, many other taxes on gasoline. All right, so one of the things that a company, a person who does this type of work, right? Which I mean, this is complex, as we said. You sometimes have to jackhammer out, asphalt that was covering a gas station parking lot, for example. Get heavy machinery in to do that. Pull these huge tanks out of the ground. You have to be a professional engineer, which means being licensed, right? What happened with Michael Keebler's engineering license as he was pleading guilty to this stuff a decade ago?
Yeah, that's one of the interesting parts of this whole case is that so his license was suspended for I think it was 6 years. Yeah, it was for 6 years from the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation. However, he was sentenced to 5 years and was released a bit early, as is typical. But what was interesting is that there was that interim, right, of about a year and a half where he was released to where his license was still suspended. However, we found through public records that are just on, department websites, that he had signed off as an administrator for a couple of projects in 2020 when he was supposedly not supposed to have a license. So that was one big red flag that we had brought up to different departments, and they had said that they're gonna investigate it. But yeah, it seemed like it was not something on their radar or that they were aware of.
So, what? So now he's licensed again, I guess. Fast forward to today, he appears to still be in business. Tell us what your reporting found.
Yeah, so he's still in business. He's actually what we had found is that the company that he works for was actually founded a few weeks before he entered prison in 2015. And it was listed under his wife's name. It still is, but that's what's interesting because in the past case, there's prosecutors had noted that there were some shell companies that were listed under his wife's name, but wholly owned and operated pretty much by Michael Keebler. But what we found is that he's still working to clean up some sites through this new company that wasn't involved in that past case. But he recently has actually, his company, GBL Properties, which owns the properties that he will clean up through Perry Environmental, his contracting company. That we found that recently they had actually taken a case to court, which isn't unusual. They've done it before, to ask for a higher reimbursement from the state, and that is still in pending. But it's a $393,000 voucher that was granted. They're asking for another $20,000, so that's still hung up in court. But yeah, it remains to be seen. I guess what happens with the fallout from all of this that we uncovered, but that's something I'm going to be following up on for sure.
All right, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're speaking with Dilpreet Raju, who's a staff writer at the Illinois Times, the news weekly in Springfield, Illinois, about a recent investigative story he did about company that had in the past defrauded the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency and the taxpayers of Illinois. And the person behind that company is now back at work and collecting hundreds of thousands of dollars from the state for basically the same type of work again. If you want to join us, 800-222-9455. I know you reached out, it says in your story, you reached out to Michael Keebler. What did he have to say, if anything, and some of the other people in this story as you were reporting this out?
No, yeah, we had tried since I think at least a month and a half before the story came out to contact Michael. I had reached out multiple times. I never got a hold of him through the different channels that we had found, mostly through these public records. And I'd sent multiple emails and eventually a letter, actually, a certified letter in the mail, but never heard back. I'll reach out again now that the story is out and see if that's something.
Presumably,
that he's
being
interested
on hundreds
in.
Of newsstands across Springfield, he would have at least been aware of the story coming out at some point.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll see what happens. What I did find interesting is that when we reached out to other people connected to him, there was very little. It was almost as if there was very little interest because of a distaste or a something that had caused an aversion. We had reached out to one lawyer who we've seen on filings for those where he had tried to get a higher reimbursement from the state.
So this is, again, post-conviction, with his present work. These are attorneys who had worked with him more recently. Yeah.
No, actually, this was during when the case was going on. So 2014
okay.
to 15,
okay.
He was still getting tried, but we had seen that there was at least a dozen cases where his company GBL had filed for additional reimbursement. We reached out to the lawyer who had filed all those cases that were eventually dismissed by GBL. But he had claimed that he had never represented Keebler and that he didn't know him. But we, you know, had cross-referenced all the information to show that it was that lawyer. So that was one case. And then another person who was a co-defendant with him, Joel Andrews, he had one short thing to say, but he didn't want to be interviewed fully for the story. It was interesting to see, though, there was definitely there's definitely a lot of interest in, I think, how he was able to return to work. A lot of the other engineers we spoke to were really confused by that and seemed troubled in some cases.
Yeah, and I guess that gets at what does it all mean here, right? Like, what is the big concern or question that sort of drove this reporting in the first place? What questions, I guess, do you still have about what's happened?
Yeah, I'm still wondering, I guess, like where the lack of coverage came in, I guess, from these, if whether it was prosecutors or if it was the state or what. But it is interesting that it seems like, from everything we've found, he's skirted a lot of interesting rules and regulations that are meant to kind of protect against these sorts of cases. But it's been fascinating to see how, yeah, there's been quite a lot of money he's been able to get from this type of work. I'm really interested in, I guess, yeah, that disparity between, I guess, what prosecutors were thinking and I guess the outcome of the case, because I imagine they would be shocked to see that he's still doing that work. But from what I had talked to, some people had said maybe it was a lack of communication between prosecutors and the state because it was federal, that there's no, that lack of licensing for federal, engineers makes it a little bit difficult for them to nail him on that with it being state. But it could have just been an oversight. It's hard to tell. But the thing that makes it difficult to find out is prosecutors, especially federal prosecutors, usually will not talk about former cases without approval. So it's something that we've reached out to, but a lot of them are retired also now. So that makes it a little bit harder.
Yeah. And of course, perhaps an interesting wrinkle that white collar crime doesn't seem to be as much of a priority under the current administration. And their federal prosecutions. You don't have to comment on that. Just about a minute left. What are you looking ahead to as you continue following this story?
I'm interested in looking at, I guess, yeah, what the response will be from the state if there is any, and I guess an answer about the 2020 actions that he had done, that's still interesting to me. But
Where he'd signed off without being a, a relicensed engineer, is what you're saying.
yes, correct, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in seeing how that, I guess, transpired, but also I'm interested to see if this is potentially something happening with other companies around the state. I mean, it's a big, there are thousands upon thousands, like you said, of these tanks. So, following these different kind of departments where they're filing all these different records and keeping potentially different businesses, I think it's an interesting and definitely ripe industry for this kind of work to be done. So it's something I'm hoping other journalists can also look at.
All right, Dilpreet Raju, thanks so much for sharing your reporting with us here on the 21st Show.
Thanks, Brian.
Dilpreet Raju is a staff writer at Illinois Times, also a Report for America Corps member. We're going to have more here on the 21st Show. We're going to be changing topics, old school three subject show today. We're going to be talking about tulips in the last part, but next, the sauna trend. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.